This is Glitterbeam.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Michael, and welcome back to Glitterbeam Radio. Bit of a special one tonight. A couple of days ago, we interviewed a band called Heilung. It's one of my favourite bands. It's a German word meaning healing. So the band was founded in 2014 by three members. Kai, who was originally a tattoo artist and he's now a vocalist. The Danish producer, Christopher Jull. And the Norwegian singer, Maria Franz. Now her voice is incredible, where do you hear this? The music's been described as an experimental folk music. They base all of their productions from artifacts that have been discovered during the Iron Age, being influenced by people from the Northern European cultures, and Celtic and Viking Age. So you can sort of imagine what these guys are going to sound like, and trust me, you're in for a treat. So we were very lucky to be able to get this interview with the band. They don't grant many. And when we contacted Season of Mist and they said, oh, we can try and set up this meeting with you guys, I was ecstatic. I was talking to their journey and I was saying to myself, oh my God, we have to do this. We have to interview these guys. So lucky and so privileged to actually get them here. We met in a coffee shop called Ozone, which is in Shoreditch. I would definitely recommend it if you've never been. Their siphon coffee is incredible. So to kick off an interview, let's go with one of their songs. This is Kriegsgalder.
Oh,
my anger's arrows shall strike. All that gentle, all that good of I see my reflection in your eyes. My rage has just begun. Sword is seen in the fire of the furnace. Hungers to be hit and wants to have a hundred. Seen their skull, the state of their existence. They may dance the maddest in the morass of the red rain. Beloved brother, enemy, I sing my sword song for you. The lullaby of obliteration. So I can wake up with a smile and bliss in my heart. And bliss in my heart. Systems, conflict, combat, devastation, regeneration, transformation. That is the best I can do for you. I see the gray blue on the horizon. Promises of powerful sun to rise. So we all move. It will make me all fire for purification. Purification. And dying ember. 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 And dying ember.
Hi, I'm sat here with two of the members from one of my favourite bands, which is Heilung. If I pronounce anything wrong, let me know straight away.
You're doing great.
So I'm sat here with Maria and I'm sat here with Christopher. And we're going to talk about your upcoming concert tomorrow, which will be Sunday at the prestigious Roundhouse or in Camden. That's going to be fun. So how did you guys all meet?
Yeah, well, we are three core members in Heilung. It's the two of us and Kai Uwe Faust. And we met many years ago during Viking reenactments. He's from Germany, Chris is from Denmark, I'm from Norway. And these Viking festivals are very international and they are taking place all over the world. And so we met during a common interest for our heritage. And Kai is a renowned tattoo artist, and he has had a very, very deep and long, profound interest in Old Norse poetry. and he made a lot of poems himself and was studying a lot. And he came to Christopher one day because Chris has a sound studio in Copenhagen. So he came and asked if he could record some poetry that he just wanted to share with his friends and family. And yeah, he went into the singing booth and started screaming. And Chris was like, wow, can I put some beats on this? And, and then I came along and they were like, oh, can you put some vocals on this track we just made? And I must admit, in the beginning, I thought it was very, very peculiar. And I thought, okay, this is a narrow genre, but fun, super fun. We had a lot of fun with it. So yeah, I guess that's the short story how we met. Do you have anything to add, Chris?
Yeah. I think you can even take it further back, even, you know, because like as you talk, we have all been doing this Viking reenactment thing, and also like been working with music with different projects also before. Like me and Maria, we've been a couple for since when is it now?
13 and a half years.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
So we met in Iceland in a Viking market dancing to a reggae band from Holland, which was a wonderful evening. And we immediately started making music together. So Maria comes from a folk background, and I come from a classical background. But also I have a sound studio in Copenhagen where my main focus is on Nordic music.
Yes.
And also folk and electronic versions of it, so to say, right? Yeah.
Thank you. So we're just getting served some coffee because we're sat in the Ozone Coffee House right now. That's in Shoreditch in London. Thank you.
So, but anyway, the thing about Heilung was that we didn't sit down together and say, okay, let's create Heilung, right?
Okay.
We just started by doing some poetry and some soundscape, and as Maria says, we added some vocals on it, and it very organically just grew into something, right? But it was kind of a thing that was missing in our lives, because both me and Maria were, for instance, already before Heilung working with something within the same genre, but not Heilung, but like maybe a little bit more in 1600 type music. It was a project called Valravn, which also was dealing with Old Norse lyrics and stuff like that. And when that ended, we were like, okay, we used most of our creative time on making a prog rock band, electronic prog rock band, but we were always missing to get back to our roots again. And when Kaim came into the picture, I think it was just very organic how it ended up. And maybe one and a half year after we started, we were sitting together and we were just watching this beast we have created, and we're like, okay, I guess we have to show it to the world, right?
Yes, and we're so glad that you did.
And you know, we haven't, you know, we never used money in promoting it or anything. We just put it out there and saw what could happen.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. And now we're here.
Yeah, and look at this. I mean, like, because I heard about you guys through whispers of, have you heard about this band called Heilung? I was like, oh, no. And I went on YouTube and I was like, oh my God, I love this. And it was brilliant. I mean, I literally fell in love straight away from the first note. I mean, like, oh, thank you. I mean, all three of you, your voices are incredible. I mean, because obviously I've heard of the band that you were in prior to this, because you transitioned from this one into Heilung eventually, didn't you?
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I just also want to add that I'm very, very grateful that we had all the experience with other projects before Heilung, because when we saw how fast it was growing, I think if we experienced this when we were 19, 20, you know, it would be quite overwhelming. But since we have this experience from other projects, and we also are at a certain age now where we can deal with things in a proper way, it's easier to grasp it and to enjoy every single moment and to plan accordingly and to find the right business partners, because we also realized very quickly that, okay, we need help. We need help in organizing the logistics of this.
Yeah.
Because we're three core members, but we're 14 people on stage, sometimes 18. And we're from 6 different countries, speaking 12 different languages. And to organize just a tour like we're on right now is quite a logistic nightmare.
But also, like, on a very practical level, we finally released our first version before we even had a label, right? We were, of course, doing everything ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So we released a book with the CD for Ofnia, right? And
we ordered 1,000 copies.
A book is quite heavy, right? So we sold 1,000 books in less than a month, and we had to go down to a post office,
the local little post office.
Yeah, and like that girl in the counter every time, right? There's them again, right? I don't know how many trolleys full of books that had to go everywhere in the world, right? And I just remember there was this situation, because in Denmark they're cutting down on post offices, right? So now they are in supermarkets, right?
So
I can just remember us standing there, you know, trying to figure out these books, and all of a sudden like they made like this stable of whiskey bottles or something, and it just fell down in our heads, right? And we were like, okay, this is it.
We need help. We need help.
Yes. We didn't have time to make music anymore, right? So of course, we are very happy to have got new collaborators within this year.
Fantastic. Awesome. That's a really, really fun story. I mean, like, yeah. Cool. So it's clear that your music is influenced, obviously, by a lot of the Norse traditions that you've just been saying. So who are your other influences?
Sorry, who
were? Who are your other influences? Who else has influenced your music?
Other artists?
Yeah.
Not really any.
No.
To be absolutely honest.
Wow.
Heilung is kind of inspired by itself, so to say, and what we're trying to achieve. So our inspirations doesn't lie with something that is in the now. It's our sources come from thousands of years ago, all including the techniques we use to get our art out, but also the lyrics and the lore that we draw from is authentic sources.
Wow.
So,
our biggest inspirational source is nature itself, because you hear so many sounds that might sound like they're electronically made, but
yeah,
everything is recorded by us from nature. If it's raindrops falling or thunder or a volcano or ice, or and then digitally enhanced in Christopher's studio, and he has this wonderful technique of drawing out the tones.
Okay.
So if you hit two stones together, he can find the melody, which is a very clear tonality in all nature elements. It's super fascinating.
We're obviously experimenting a lot, so we use modern means. We call it amplified history for a reason, right? And I like to use the picture of, imagine if you take a history book and you plug it into an amplifier, what would you hear, right? So you can't really beat nature when it comes to musicality, because it's not completely random what is happening. It has a rhythm. So you can take simple elements such as if there is a slight leakage in your sink or something, that drop will fall in a certain rhythm. Or a tree that has a shape, the way the wind goes through it has a beat, and there is like there's musicality in all nature, right? And what we basically does is enhancing that and use that as a foundation to our arrangement, but very often we let nature make the first lead and then build on top of it, right?
That's really, really amazing. I mean, it is true that you can make music from anything, and one of the things that you see from your music as well and what you've just said, it's, you know, true, you can make music from anything.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
So yeah, so we're not influenced by specific other artists, but of course I draw a lot on my vocal techniques. I take from the Nordic Sami way of singing and a lot in the Norwegian folk traditional way of using the voice. And the guys do a lot of throat singing, which comes from Siberia. So of course we've been learning some techniques from other folk and tribal techniques.
The thing is, you know, what we're recreating here is not a completely reconstruction of how it might have sounded, because that would be impossible with what we already do.
Yeah.
But what we try to recreate is the feeling.
Yes.
Okay, so, but of course we start with sources. What would they have played on? What type of thing, you know? And sometimes we have to fill in the gaps. So that means, for instance, we have never really found a drum from the Iron Age in Scandinavia.
Okay.
And that is most probably because that the material used is, you know, fading away over time, right?
Yeah.
But what we then do is that we fill in the gaps from other cultures. And like every single tribal culture around the planet had drums.
Wow.
And pictures of people with drums and so on, right? So we use that element. Same goes for instance, when we use polyrhythmic Inuit singing, that we use for some special, parts where we feel that this works, right? Or we take some sort of throat singing. I wouldn't call exactly what we do as throat singing, but the one of the reasoning behind it is that there was a traveler coming to Hedeby in Denmark, which is now northern Germany, and he described the singing as sounding like barrels falling down the hill and smashing, and people sounding like howling dogs.
Right.
So it can't have been beautiful to his Persian ear, you know, what he was hearing, right? But so that is, of course, something we take and we fill out the gaps with that.
That's so amazing. Yeah. That's cool. So that actually brings me on to one of my other questions I was going to ask you. You know, you guys use a wide variety of instruments. You know, some of them, you know, more mundane, some of them to the more unusual side. But what's your favorite instrument when you're by yourself? Because obviously artists like to create things, you know, alone. The creative process is always going on. What's your favorite instrument to use?
For me, it must be the drum. The drum was actually my first instrument that I actively used in a band summoning. What's that word? Yeah. Sorry, I lost the English word for that. I'll try again. No, but the drum was my first instrument that I actively used, and Kai made the drums we use on stage now, and they sound amazing, and it's really a very rich tone. It's nature skin. Mine is made of deer.
Okay.
And the frame is wood, and everything is organic materials, and it feels very alive in my hands, and it gives a lot of things back to me when I play it. It's like we have a conversation going. It's not that I'm just playing an instrument. It's a very interacting way.
It becomes part of you. And
yeah.
You melt together.
Yeah, it really does. Do you have a favorite?
Well, I like all of it. Well, the thing is, we don't really play many instruments other than drums and bones. You know. We have horns, and we have the Ramanhata, which is an Indian desert sitar, you know, which basically is a stick with a string on it made from human hair. So very primitive. So what we use actually the most is vocals, right, and nature sounds. So obviously we can't bring a waterfall to the stage or light a real bonfire in the middle of everything and hope that
will
sound
good. I'm
sure
the Roundhouse would let you do that.
Yeah, exactly. So of course we also bring some electronic means in you know, in order to bring these nature sounds into the audience, right? But I think like for me it's the project is not really about its individual or the individual parts we use. It's about the total of it, right? Like for instance, me, I'm a pianist.
Okay.
But I don't play the piano in Heilung, right?
No, I haven't.
That would be weird.
It would be a little weird to have like a white grand piano in the middle of everything, you know. But of course, a lot of the knowledge I have from using this instrument, I can now plot into different elements, right? So we use the like when I'm composing within this, I can say, okay, we need this. A hooter, which is like it's called a bull roar in English.
Bull roar,
yeah, so that is our bass guitar, all right? And then we use maybe a sword, that is our hi-hat, you know, and we have the desert sitar, that can maybe be the guitar, in, you know, frequency-wise, how we structure the sounds of the piece, right?
See, it's amazing to hear this because obviously all of the listeners, you know, like, you know, people who listen to you, people who watch you, all of your fans, are going to be watching everything that you do, and perhaps they don't particularly realize the amount of work and skill that you guys are putting into this thing, because obviously you can tell that all the songs are amazing and you sound amazing, but I think a lot of that hard work that you just expressed maybe gets lost in translation sometimes, and I think people hearing that would make them appreciate the music that you make even more. I mean, first time I'm hearing this and I'm thinking of all of the different songs like Pascalda, and I'm like, oh wow, so I'm thinking about all of these elements that you guys are putting together. It's fantastic. Awesome.
It takes a long time to write the music because there are so much, such a rich detail in every single piece. So the Lifa, we spent 3 years making that.
No, Futa.
Futa, yeah.
Yeah. And some of the songs were even from earlier that didn't fit into the Ofnia concept.
Yeah.
But it's very different also. You know, the song is only done when it says it's done, so to say, right? But it's good we have Maria, because Kai and I, we can sit and forever, you know. Hadn't it been for Maria, we would never have been done.
Sometimes I'm like, Chris, that sound is perfect now. Only dogs can hear what you're changing. Just leave it.
It's very done. Healthy for us to have Maria around to stop us, you know.
Perfectionist.
Yes, yeah. It never ends.
I get the same argument from these guys when I'm doing something, so I'm like, no, it has to be this, and they go, no, it's fine. No one's going to tell the difference. I'm like, but they might.
Yes.
Oh, so I was going to say that, you know, art is open to interpretation. And obviously everything that you do is not just singing, but it's performance as well. It's visual, it's audible. And, you know, as we know, art is massively open to interpretation. You guys obviously read a lot about you know, the work that you do. Is there anything that's ever been misinterpreted that you want to set the record straight and let people know about that?
Yeah, well, the thing is that we deliberately didn't put out the translations of the songs because we use so old sources, and there's 1,000 different suggestions to how you can translate it.
It's up to great scientific debate.
Yeah. And Kai is a scholar in his field in this, and he did a lot of research, and we have, of course, our interpretation of it, but we would rather put out the sources so people can read and make up their own mind than us telling them how to interpret it. But the downside of that is, of course, that there is some funny stuff on YouTube. For instance, for Krigsgalden, there's a
weird translation,
very, very weird translation going on there. It's completely wrong, and we are debating if we should maybe say something.
The thing is, you know, if you take the Aegir stone from which we take Krigsgalda from, right? This stone, in the actual Viking period, that stone was made even earlier than it is from now to the Viking period.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's so old, so the language is almost gone.
Yeah.
And half of the stone is missing, and you know, you know, it is out there. The internet exists, right? So people can actually look it up themselves to see what the different, you know, theories are, right? What we try to is also not to bring the solution.
Yes.
Right? We bring the feeling of this,
like any good artist, this
time and space, right?
Yeah.
So we don't bring the answer. That is for sure. Of course, people can have, you know, and they can also sadden us when people put something of the now into it, because that is not our purpose.
No.
Our purpose is to show you and make you feel how it was to be 1,000 years back, you know, and not to make an agenda for today.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's awesome. So I've obviously read a lot of like different theories about what's going on. And like I said, my favorite song without a doubt, hands down, is Krigsgalda. And the guys were like, you know, people online, they said, oh, you know, I think it means, you know, it's about war and it's about death and destruction. And I'm thinking, my personal interpretation of that was, it's not, it's about survival, continuation, and moving forward. But that said, if it's left open to interpretation, I'm not going to ask you what yours was.
But it's good. I mean, then you get something personal out of that piece of music, which is exactly what we wish for. So that's good to hear.
Amazing. So we've already spoken a lot about bits and pieces, so I'm going to switch this question, because we was going to ask about your creative process, but I think you've discussed
you're
a lot
welcome,
of that already.
You're welcome. We're going to ask about our creative process.
Yeah?
There's no problem.
Oh, brilliant. Cool. So tell me about your creative process. How do you guys go through writing these songs? I mean, from paper to production.
Okay, so it can start from different... we can get to the same thing from different ways, but it very often start by Kai having done some research into an artifact or into a source where the lyrics are there, right? And from there, and specifically within Old Norse poetry and also Icelandic poetry, it already has a certain beat to it. And very often it rhymes on like opposite than it would rhyme today. So, for instance, in English, me or he or whatever would rhyme on the last vowel, right?
Yeah.
But actually, in most of the times, it rhymes on the consonant, the first thing. And it has a very specific meter how it rhymes and how it beat-wise would be structured, right? So there we have like a frame to go from. So this is an example. It could also have started with me recording a bonfire in my garden, and that was super inspiring, and we built something on it, right? But we start by an element at least, right? And then we add to it, and Maria develops a melody, and I develop arrangements and the production around it. And then, and this is probably very different from many other bands and or projects, is that Heilung is not only an audio project, it's also a visual project. So that means we also develop the visual side of the piece with ornaments or with drawings, so it will follow itself further down the line to either become a video or have a place in a book or something like that, right?
Yeah.
We don't necessarily have to finish a piece from the first day, and very often we don't. And maybe we also just have an element that will wait until it finds its opposite or its partner or whatever, and it can be constructed further down the line, right?
Yeah.
So you can might understand that we have like a huge library already of sounds, right?
Yes.
And one very important part is that, you know, there is not this Heilung sample pack you can buy online and use. So of course, if we'd make a song about winter, we have to wait until it's winter to find the sounds we need, right? Because that's kind of hard to find at summer, specifically if you want to play on ice or something. So of course, it's also bound by when it can be made. We do a lot of recordings outdoor with animal sounds and also just aerial sounds. I don't think we have like a direct formula on how we approach stuff, but we have like all our different fields in what we contribute to the project, the three of us. And of course, when that is done and the song is finished, then we can take it to our live orchestra that then will be giving rules in how to take it further out and if we want to apply visuals to it. So the show you're going to see in Roundhouse has some new elements in it that is not on Lifa, where we take strong use of imagery that fits the lyrics in the song as how we see them, obviously, right? And also take natural elements into consideration.
Awesome. That leads me to one of the things I was going to ask then, is obviously you guys are giving performances all over the planet and things, and, you know, again, you're saying things were very visual. And I was going to ask, are you going to give it something, like, you know, is anything special in this one? Like, you said there was something new that people are going to see?
Well, the thing is, I've been reflecting during this tour is that every single show is different. It's not two shows or performances or rituals that are the same, because it's a lot about the energies in the room, the audience, how, what kind of, are they sitting, are they standing, how are they perceiving? It's a very like a dialogue between us, because it is a ritual. So of course the audience is a part of the concert, not just spectators, but they're a part of it. So that is one thing that you can never, it will always be a unique performance. And the other thing is that we have...
I can follow up on it if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is the thing people very often forget is when, you know, when they look at us, we look at them, yeah. Right? So half the performance or ritual is the audience. So that energy that is put there by the audience is making the concert directly. That's why we also start the show by, or the performance by holding hands and saying that we all are brothers. That is what you can call it. It's not meant that everyone is men, but it means that we are all family, right? Yeah. It's gender neutrally meant.
And on tomorrow is the last time on this show that we will perform a piece with fire, the fire song El Dansurin, because it's a song that we it's amazing, you can really look forward to it.
Oh my goodness.
And it's a song about fire, which means that we will only perform it when it's allowed to bring fire onto the stage. And Roundhouse is okay with that, but the next three venues in the Netherlands, Brussels and Paris, they are not. So
all of them are going to miss out on this.
That song will not be played there. Yeah.
You know, you can't have the fire song without fire.
No.
So, that is impossible.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So we're actually coming up with another show called Secret Horizons, where we actually use snippets of your of some of your performances. And one of the songs that we use in there is El Dansurin. And when he heard it, he was all like, oh my god, it's like, because you know, the rhythmic and the chanting and the, you know, the deep tones, it's one of the ones that I can easily meditate to, and because it's like, you know, it's so, yeah, I love it.
I think also another thing you will discover, because of course we are evolving, and but we are also of course following the path that we have put out in front of ourselves. So one thing is while, if take Ofnir, our first release, there was in many ways a lot from a man's perspective of the time, while Fuda is from a woman's perspective.
Not only a woman, but the feminine,
yeah, the feminine
and the
side.
Masculine. Yeah. We're very inspired by playing around with those.
It doesn't mean that it's about cupcakes.
No,
you know, and
it's that balance. Yeah, you said everything about that you're doing is all about. It seems to revolve around nature and having this male and female aspect. It's obviously something.
Exactly.
It's about a primal feeling here, right? And that will also reflect into the show. So we have a lot more women on stage, and
they are fierce.
They are amazing.
Not being sweet, it's oh my god, they're hooligans. It's the raw nature of lionesses hunting and, you know, giving birth and all this kind of the raw energy of the femininity that we are attracted to, and find that very inspiring.
Amazing. It sounds like we're going to be in for a really good show tomorrow. I'm very, very excited. Very excited to see this going on. Amazing. So one of the things that I was going to ask about as well is the way you guys dress on stage is so inspirational, and that headdress, I mean, fucking hell, it's amazing. I mean, how are these made? Do you buy them or have them made for you?
Yeah, we went to the local Highland shop around the corner.
Yeah. And it's like
you find everything in London, right?
Tiki Highlands.
Yeah. No, everything is handmade by ourselves. My dress is hand sewn. The first I needed to make one more now for this tour because it's so many shows, I needed to be able to switch, but it's basically my Viking dress. It's a traditional design that I've been using for many years, and the tablet weaves, partly made by me and partly ordered, commissioned, I think it's a name for it. I know some extremely talented people in Norway that make this wonderful tablet weaved bands. And when we when we decided to go live with Heilung, we started to think, okay, how is this going to be done? How are we going to look? And I just had this vision from day one. I want to be all in white, and I want to have the Norwegian reindeer antlers. And I had this idea for this face paint and the fringes. And from there, it was a very organic. I almost don't remember so much of that month making it, because I was so focused, and so were all of us. It was just a full month just handcrafting in the studio, just piecing together every single piece. And on my the fringes on the arms is a mixture between violin horse hairs. So they have been used to play music. So I have woven music into it. It's seashells from my childhood beach. It's cat hair from our cats. It's like, make it personal. And that's what we said to all the others as well. Like, we don't have a theme, but do something that makes you feel connected to your roots. And since we have a Chilean musician and Dutch and Danish, and so everyone just did some soul searching and came up with their own thing. And we didn't know how people were gonna look until 2 days before the LIFA concert.
Which is also important to say that was the first time we played ever.
Yeah, LIFA.
The first time.
Yeah, so that video on YouTube, that is the first time Heilung ever played on a stage together.
Wow, and what an impact that it had.
That was insane. And that was Kai's first. Good, thanks.
Thank you.
And also important to say about LIFA is that Kai, that was his first time on stage ever. He was not a musician before.
He's a shaman.
So we just put him like the first time, okay, you're going to be on this stage in front of 10,000 audience. It's going to be live streamed and video recorded.
And your future is depending on it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Make sure it's good.
Maybe. There you go. I also want to talk a little bit about dresses, and also since Kaino's here. So the shaman coat that Kai is wearing and his helmet is something he's been using privately for his own rituals for many years before the show, right?
Amazing.
So a lot of the items and things you see on stage, you know, was not necessarily made for Heilung. It was something we already did. So my dress example, that is, yeah, I didn't modify it at all. That is my reenacted dress I've been using, you know, going on Viking markets and stuff like that, you know. And I think that is important, you know, that we would, you, what we try to do here is also, you know, to maybe bring into a stage environment what we actually do in the private, right? Also, a lot of the ritual part of it, you see, is something we didn't really think would fit for an audience, right? And it took a lot of thought and a lot of care to decide whether it was actually a good thing to bring on a stage. Because
it's a very private thing. I mean, spirituality is
very private. And, you know, we don't consider it a concert, right? We're not there to act or show off or something. We are more or less opening up and showing something that is, you know, very private and very, you know.
You're bearing a sword
something.
Totally.
So it took a little time to figure out whether it would fit. You can also hear that a little bit in the arrangements on Ofnia, because there's many places when we constructed it, because you are in a sound studio, of course, you can overlap yourself, and you know, and you don't need breathing pauses as much as you would in a live situation. And the running joke was, it's never gonna go live, right? We're never gonna stand on a stage with this, right? And then when we came to the point, okay, now we have to, you know, stand on a stage and do this, right?
Yeah.
What about those breathing pauses?
Yeah. All of a sudden that became kind of critical.
So what you see is real. That is for sure.
That's amazing. It's amazing, and that means that every single concert that you guys do is special. For every single one that's there, except everyone is unique, everyone is individual. You are on the stage, and you are sort of tailoring it to the audience there, feeling the energy that's in the room, and that's amazing. There's so much thought process going on there. It's not just a performance for you guys. It's, you know, it's a spiritual thing. That's amazing. I love that. That's awesome.
Cool.
So, last sort of question then. Yeah, and I promise it's going to be really easy. What do you guys do to unwind? You know, you're going all over, you're doing this thing. What do you do just to chill out? What's...
Yeah. I love to be in nature as much as I can. I mean, it's hard when you're on a tour like this because you come to new places all the time and it's not always a forest nearby. So I must say, during the tour, we had a lovely day where we spent the whole day on a spa.
Nice.
That was super nice.
There was like sound in the water from this cheesy healing music.
Yeah. And it had all kinds of things. And there was a whole nudist department. And I don't know many bands who are completely comfortable of getting undressed and just walk around naked for a whole day. But that's the fact with Heilung. It's a very, very strong bond between us. And I love every single one of them. They're amazing people. And you feel very safe and calm in their company. So I don't feel the need to unwind so much, actually, because I can sit next to any one of them and lay my head on their shoulder or just chill and chit-chat or just be quiet. Or it's a very it's a calm and loving atmosphere. I feel very, very safe.
I think in a very real way, our tribe that we are traveling around with is our home now, right? Mm. So when you're together and you know, you are home in a way, like mentally, and that can make you relax in this very hectic reality that it is to be on tour, right?
Yeah.
Because you go to a concert, you're a lot of noise, loud sound, everything, and you pack down, you go into your big bus with bunks, 22 people, and then you drive off to another country, right?
Yeah.
Get out, and now you are in a new country and you repeat, right?
Yeah.
So you need this mental quietness, I would say, right?
Yeah.
So people, of course, do this differently. We have more than one shaman in the group, so that they do whatever makes, real to them. For me, it's about being home, and so I mentally prepare. When we are home, Mary and I live in a countryside house in Denmark, and which is super quiet. There's no cars. There's 20 people living in the city or something.
So village.
A village.
It's a complete polar opposite to being in London. Then.
Yeah, exactly.
Today was so extreme for us because it was so full of
There's
people
so many
everywhere.
People. There's more people in the bus than there is in our town.
Yeah.
So that is incredible, right?
Yeah.
But that feeling you have when you are home, right? And you can only hear the birds and there's also a beach nearby where we live.
Yeah.
These sounds that reminds you of home. You can kind of take them with you mentally and somehow convert that into that joy it is to be with your family or your tribe, right?
Mm.
And that way your mind stays clear, and that is super important to me.
Yeah. I mean, now I haven't seen the gang since yesterday morning and I miss them terribly. It's really weird.
Yeah, we are very lucky. We are living at a friend's very big apartment with a good view. So
it's really like, oh, looking forward to see them again tomorrow. I'm going to kiss them all. Yeah. But I forgot to say something when you asked about the shows and what makes them different from each other. One important aspect is actually the warriors, because we have a warrior choir. And we have five, which is the permanent part of it. But then we always ask to get locals on stage. So we had these auditions going for a while, where if you wanted to be a warrior with Heilung, you needed to send a video of yourself saying Hakke Skaldyr into the camera, or shouting it hooligan style. And then the people that we could see, okay, you got the right energy, you have the beat, you have the pronunciation. Then we take them in for auditioning. So here in the UK, we got so many good auditions. Like really, they're top of the list. The UK and the US are in the top. So tomorrow we have four local warriors that are going to the audition in the morning, and if they do that okay, they're going to join us on stage.
So literally from the morning to a couple hours later, yeah, you're fantastic, now go on, off your pop, get dressed.
Yeah, there is of course a long training period in forehand where they will keep on sending in new videos of their how they progress.
Yeah,
right?
We're in really good dialogue all the way.
But I think like on a more spiritual level, it's also for us to when we come to a place, right, and it's not us taking, we also giving, right, and it's also to place a little seed, so one warrior in one town can become 10 the next time, right?
Yeah, we
and
want to
we
build
have a
little
local
army.
Army of hardy warriors, right?
Yeah.
But it's a very beautiful thing to collaborate locally, and that was. Yeah,
and they have a very strong bond. So, I mean, Heilung is, you can say that it's a subdivision inside the group is the warriors. They have a very strong code of honor and the brotherhood, and they need to trust each other completely, because when they go on stage, it's going pretty crazy. So they need to know that, okay, you can mentally flip out, but you still have a thread back to check on your, your brothers and see, okay, is everything okay?
And it's a lot more than being on stage. It's also these spiritual things they do, alone, and yeah, you can't just paint you black and just, now I'm a warrior, right? Yeah. It takes a little bit more,
takes
right?
a lot, yeah. And women are very, very welcome in the warrior choir. We have a few. And the dress code is the same for everyone. It's a bare torso and the pants and the blackening and the spear and the shield. And it's very, very cool for us to see that people don't always notice that there's women amongst them, because everyone gets this... what do you call it? It's a gender neutrality kind of thing, because you are there for the purpose of the stage performance, and it's not about gender in that sort. And we got some
most
really
of the time
women.
People don't notice.
Really. Yeah, that's so cool. That makes us really we
then
succeeded.
Then we did our job, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's incredible. See, now I wish I knew about this, because I would have done this.
It's not too late. We're coming back to the UK.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Next time. Okay, I'm going to say that then, because you feel very free to add it in the interview. You can write an email to heilungwarrior@gmail.com.
Okay.
And then you get an instruction back with what you need to do and the lyrics and everything. And yeah, so anyone are super welcome to send auditions.
Awesome. Well, I'll definitely put that online, and you'll see my email dropping that soon enough.
Awesome.
Oh, it's been brilliant. Thank you, guys. Honestly. I mean, is there anything else you would like to add in here or anything else?
I wanted to talk a bit about the Warriors, but I did that.
I think we are there. It was great coffee.
Coffee was really good. Yeah.
You can...
This is Glitterbeam. Music with sparkle.
Hi, my name is Maria Franz.
I'm Christopher Yu.
You are listening to Glitterbeam, and we would like to introduce the song from Heilung called Nurupu. Enjoy.
So what did you guys think of that? I mean, oh, it was so great sitting with the guys in the shop. Beautiful on the inside as well as outside. They were both fantastic people, Maria and Christopher. Thank you so much for giving us your time, especially during, you know, getting all prepared for your concert that was on Sunday. We obviously attended that and it was amazing. I mean, we enjoyed it so much. Myself and Eugenio both went there. And funny enough, we were downstairs at the front of the stage, and you know, we were jumping, we were dancing, and you know, unfortunately I had a bit of a cold, so partway through I went upstairs into the seats, and funny enough we literally sat right next to the correspondents that, you know, from who we were talking to with Seasons of Mist, and we were sitting there and we was like, oh, the guys were like, oh, are you enjoying the show? And we were just like, yeah, it's so good. And we're like, oh, we had an interview with the band yesterday, and then all of a sudden she turned around, she's like, oh, Eugenio. I was like, what? What's going on here? I mean, out of everybody that was there, there was hundreds of people there. And coincidentally, we sat right next to the guys who we were exchanging emails with. Anyway, I really, really hope you enjoyed the interview and the couple of songs which you've listened to. Remember, if you didn't get the chance to listen to everything, you can always catch up again in the podcast section on www.glitterbeam.co.uk. Good night, everyone. Speak to you again soon.
This is Glitterbeam. Music with sparkle.